Welcome to Insight Out, the Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
And remember, nudity is not just skin deep. And we do our best to uncover our truth from common and not so common beliefs, perceptions, assumptions, and attitudes through conscious conversation, poetry, music, and humor. I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I'm Errol Strider. Tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw, 100% raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you.
And Go Raw can be found in Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and the organic section of Costco, among other places. So go to goraw.com to find a store near you and find out more about Go Raw products. Tonight's show is a doobie doobie doody doody doody. That is the question.
That is the question. And just to enhance how that is the question, let's listen to this.
For strangers in the night.
Well, who can top that?
See, there's doobie doobie doo and there's da 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 da.
And the da 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 da, right. Well, I looked up what a human being is supposed to be, and I got human beings.
And you covered that in what, like about 25 seconds?
Human beings, men, women, children from the species Homo sapiens, are distinguished from other mammals by superior mental development. Oh, that is questionable sometimes. Power of articulate.
We'll cover that later.
Power of articulate speech and an upright stance. Isn't that fun?
I love that. Where did that come from?
The dictionary.
And an upright stance.
Upright stance.
I hope you're all out there standing upright or sitting upright or lying down. It doesn't matter. I just hope you're listening. Tonight's show is going to be about the doobie-doo. Or the way I like to put it is, to be or to do? That is the question.
Well, it just so happens that superior mental development allowed us to do things, solve problems, build bridges, create connections, and pass them on. Today, we can connect to each other in seconds. From all around the globe, we can discover what other human beings are doing. Humans do. We create stuff. We create situations, connections, and we do it faster than ever because we created tiny, tiny chips that house all our intelligence, and those chips may be doing everything for us. So we may just go back to being, hanging out, smelling the roses, counting stars, and scanning the universe for other beings that we can hang out with.
Okay.
I do believe that we were created to create. As the master created creates, and if that is doing, then we can safely say, human beings do be do be do.
Okay. I see you're enjoying your little repartee with your own words.
I am.
Very nice. Well, the subject came up for me because in my own spiritual practice, one of the things I get to look at is what keeps me from blossoming and unfolding into that true, authentic self. FYI, the Arantia book has a line that says, everyone has their own pet evil, which I think is kind of interesting choice of words, isn't it? Your little pet evil. Come on. Come on, little addiction.
Mine died because I forgot to feed it.
Oh, hope you're right. And it said, the payment of this pet evil is your price of admission into, they use the metaphor of kingdom of heaven, but I'd like to think of it as the expanded consciousness that is continually interpenetrating with that which is authentic being, the foundational being, out of which arises the doing, of course. Now, this is the problem. As I see it, we get attached to the doing as a way to affirm our being. And therein lies the rub.
Oh my gosh, that's a great rub. I like that. I think that's absolutely true. I totally concur. I have nothing to say against it, and I could say a whole bunch of things for it, because as I mentioned a few seconds ago, if we are created in the image of God, and as far as I'm concerned, the only image of God that's real is Creator, and so therefore we are creative sons and daughters of God. And I like to think that creating is this form of doing.
Well, it is. I mean,
you know,
it is
so
doing.
Therefore, we are always creating and we're always doing. And I don't think you can escape that. I don't think humans can escape doing.
And who's Unless suggesting that we do? We're not going to escape it. But
I
for
didn't
me,
suggest that you suggested.
Really?
No.
It wasn't like my suggestion in the first place?
No, I don't think I suggested that you suggested that I suggested at all.
But you were prone to suggesting.
No, I don't even... when I suggest, I'm upright because I'm a human being.
I see. You're not prone.
No, I'm not prone.
Okay. Well, we're going to test that out to see if Rochelle has any prone suggestions. But enough of this nonsense.
No, more nonsense.
Okay, more nonsense. So here's the deal, though, about the pet evil in the sense that I personally relate to it. And that is, it's a place where I kind of fixate in the finite.
I like that.
Yeah, fixate in the finite. Maybe I'll do my poem, Fondling the Finite, for you in just a couple of minutes. But let me finish this.
Well, first he's going to fixate, then he'll fondle.
Right. And remember, parenthetically, that the universe right now is fondling you in ways you cannot imagine.
Ooh. That sounded good. Okay. Go ahead.
So we attach unto some place in the finite, something out there. And inherent in its being out there is it's separate from us. So there's the conundrum and the dichotomy. We attach to something that is not us. In fact, it's something that we've created in our mind, but we've glued it to someone else in order to validate ourselves. Rochelle's looking at me like, what on earth?
Could you repeat that?
No. No, I won't. Just because I saw that look in your face, I'm not going to repeat it. But what I will do is suggest that we all have this place where we become, let's say, attached, even addicted to some aspect of our human experience that inevitably involves doing or thinking. And as we become attached or addicted to that, let's say it's like overeating or gambling or falling in love or having ideas or doing itself.
I think I would say more than addicted to, I'd say defined by.
I think it can do both. I think we can become addicted to, but say more about defined by. Is that like a flyby?
No. I think that, you know, my definition of love is it's non-definable. And therefore, and as a creative being, to truly be a creative being, I can't limit myself to definitions. I need to be beyond definitions. I mean, that doesn't mean that it's at the point of starting out as an evolving being that I need definitions because I don't know how to be without them.
That's good. Hold that thought. That is really, really good. We don't know how to be without definition because in our immaturity, the only way we recognize ourselves at all as a self-aware self is where we bump into something else that evidently isn't us, because I don't experience it over here. It's over there. What? Come on.
Well, I know you make all these gestures, but we're on the radio and nobody can see.
Imagine.
Where is where there is and where here is.
Well, there's one's over in my left and one's over in my right, and I'll leave it to the listeners' imagination.
But I do experience that in our immaturity, we have great need to define ourselves. And just being is not definitive enough. So we define ourselves by what we produce, and that's what we do. We produce something. We're always producing something. We produce thoughts. We produce things. We produce action. We produce relationships. We're constantly producing things.
We're creating. Producers.
Creating things is another way of putting it, which is probably closer to the truth, you know, that we are creating constantly, but the in our immaturity, we create to define. There's a point where we are so much who we are that the creation comes out of that. I mean, it doesn't mean we don't stop creating because I think that's who we are. But it one, we create to know ourselves, and the other, because we know ourselves, we create.
Good distinction. But here's the problem, according to Jack Sovaretti, and that is no one's aware. And this is really about awareness, fundamentally.
There's a boat sailing out there to an island no one's aware of. We can go together and take to the sea. Sail with me. Sail with me. Every road leads us to somewhere, and every turn brings us closer to home. Being alone doesn't mean that you're free. So come with me. Come with me. There to be looked at, every word is there to be heard. Don't believe in all that you see, just believe. Believe in a note waiting out there for a song that no one's aware of. No one's aware of. No one's aware.
That's called No One's Aware, and the singer was Jack Sovaretti. Very thoughtful song, don't you think, Rochelle?
What is his name?
Jack Sovaretti. Savoretti.
Savoretti.
Speaking of Savoretti.
of course, we were speaking of Savoretti. Just this morning, I was speaking of Savoretti.
No, the other day, I was thinking about savoring and almost thought of it as a topic for our show, to savor. I found myself sometimes putting food in my mouth and rushing off to do something while I'm eating. And I'm learning to catch myself and stop running off and savor that bite.
Yeah, and you can savor moments.
You can savor anything. And I believe, this is a new theory, I believe that if there were more savoring going on, there would be much happier and less contentious a world, because we would appreciate just how delicious everything is. On the other side, it's curious that we don't do that, that we are rush off. Like I was put something in my mouth and I went and cleared the table while I was chewing, or it doesn't matter, I just did something else. What causes that, speaking of doing?
Well, I think that's just it. That's what causes it. We're so needful of doing to be, so that we can justify our beingness by doing, that eating is not enough of a doing.
Did you hear that out there? You heard it here from Rochelle
Strider.
Some
people, eating is all they do, but for a lot of people, eating is not enough of a doing. So you need to eat. You're hungry, so you throw something in your mouth, and then you do something that has meaning. Because the food, the eating of the food doesn't have meaning. You don't give it great meaning. You don't give it the meaning of defining a doing.
What kind of face am I making right now? Would you describe it to the audience before I say
it's
what I have
disgusting.
To say?
It's disgusting.
Well, that's not the part.
It was a snarling face. It was a face of disagreement. It was a face of a disagreeable
grimace.
Face.
It's where you, the word grimace.
He grimaced.
Yeah.
He grimaced with his face.
Right.
He grimaced with his face.
Let me explain why I'm
a
grimacing.
A grinning grimace it was.
I just think we're anal compulsive is a big part of it. We're just
but
so many of us.
That's not how you eat.
I know, but doing the other things. That is still bad.
It was bad.
That is so
okay. Just erase it. Don't even give it. Don't even give it. It was so bad.
What did you have for dinner? See, I didn't have dinner with you, and you obviously had something for dinner that was hopefully not contagious.
Oh God! Don't talk about contagious. This Ebola thing is really scary.
What Ebola thing? I am out of touch.
There's an Ebola.
Ebola.
Ebola is a disease that just starts breaking down everything, every cell in your body, breaking down. You start bleeding out, and you just, and it's painful, and it's contagious. It's highly, highly contagious, and it's come to the United States.
How to get in? Well, what happened to the immigration department?
The problem is, like, it didn't have a passport at all. It's an illegal entry.
So what's happening? What are they doing about
well,
it?
Well, you know, hopefully, because it exists here, and you know, we think we're so special that maybe we'll find a cure for it, where before it had been in places where nobody was researching it as assiduously as they may do now. So, I mean, that may be the good news of it. I don't know, but it's kind of scary. It's scary to think that there's something out there that's so contagious and so painful, and so that it could destroy whole groups of people.
What comes up for me in hearing that, and this is going to seem like a non sequitur, but I'll see if I can connect it, is the question, does doing expand the being? As a result of doing, is our being expanded? What made me think about it was the creative activity that is going into place and has gone into place to solve human dilemma. Invention of the smallpox vaccine. Smallpox was a huge cause of death for many centuries. And so here you have this effort on our part to be creative and invent things to resolve the dichotomies and the discomforts and the dangers of life. So as we make those inventions, as we pursue those goals, are we becoming bigger? Is our being expanding? I'm inclined to think that it does expand, because exercising thought and will by that creative process is how we grow our beingness, and we become more and more the being that we fundamentally are.
I definitely agree with you. I think every challenge to our beingness creates a greater sense of it. I mean, because it has to be, it is a creative process that we have to solve something. And in the solving of that, we do grow our consciousness. And because we grow through our expanded consciousness, it seems to me the answer to your question is yes.
Okay. We got a yes.
We got a yes from the lady in the second row.
There's a song I've been wanting to play, and it seems like it's the time, because it's just fabulous. And you may have heard it, and I think it begins to celebrate the kind of deepening and expanding of self, because what that includes when that self expands is more joy. And for that, we say hallelujah.
Secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. You don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty in the moonlight. Tied you to a kitchen chair. She broke your throne and cut your hair. And from your lips she drew hallelujah. 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 Seen this room and I've walked the floor. Used to live alone before I knew you. But I've seen your flag on the marble arch. Our love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 Maybe there's a God above, but all I've ever how to shoot somebody who outdrew you. It's not a cry that you hear at night. It's not someone who's seen the light. It's a cold and broken hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Katie Lang. And that would be Mr. Cohen's lyrics. Leonard Cohen, to be specific, wrote that song. It's from Hymns of the 49th Parallel. That's something.
He has sung it, you know, and I love his version of it, but I adore her version of it.
Yeah.
She just really gets into every image so crystal clear.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When she was singing and this hallelujah, and there's this, the realization that we don't know how to celebrate our humanness.
What do you mean by celebrate our humanness? What do you mean we don't know how? People are having fun and joy and playing all the time.
Celebrate our humanness in the sense that we rejoice in it. Let's put it that way. That it's a hallelujah that we're human. It's a hallelujah that we exist. It's a hallelujah that we create. There's something magical and marvelous and mysterious about the whole thing.
I think a lot of people feel that and are celebrating it. I met a guy the other day who seemed to be celebrating. He was on the street corner. He was tying his shoelace, and he was laughing. He was just laughing. And I just kind of stopped. Why was he laughing? And he looked up to me and says, I'm just tying my shoelace. I'm so thrilled to be tying my shoelace. And it turns out that he had been paralyzed for a while in his life. And just being able to tie his shoelace, for some reason, that was like the thing that drove him nuts, that he couldn't tie his own shoes, that made him feel so helpless. And yet, here he was, being able to do this simple of acts of tying his shoelace, and it brought him so much joy that he just laughed out loud. A whole crowd assembled and watched and listened to him. That was an amazing moment.
I'll bet. Mm-hmm. I can't tie my shoelace.
Well, that was what I wanted to get into. I didn't want to say anything, but I thought if we kind of hung in there with the metaphor, let's talk about that. Why can you not tie your shoelace? First of all, the actual physiological reason.
The physiological reason is I had a hip replacement and I have limited motion, and I can't bend over far enough to tie my shoelace. So,
though we've tried. We've tried pulling her down. We've tried stretching her ground.
But the interesting thing is, and here's where creativity comes in. It's like you go, okay, I can't do that. So you find another thing to do to get your shoes on. You wear different shoes. I think that was one of the things that I discovered when I found myself physically limited by some things, is that didn't limit me. I just couldn't do that. But I could do something else to have what I wanted in that moment, and that my creativity knew no bounds. I wasn't limited. My thoughts aren't limited, and my creativity is not limited. And knowing those two things make me feel free.
That harkens back to our last show on creative living. And I think you've reinforced that notion. Your creativity is not limited no matter what.
That's right, no matter what.
It reminds me of that movie, though. Richard Dreyfuss played a person. He was a sculptor, I believe. And I think Barbra Streisand was his lawyer. And he couldn't do anything. And he asked for permission to die. And that's what the whole movie was about. He didn't, because his creativity was understandably completely tied in with his being a sculptor. I mean, you don't get much more sensually creative, I think, than when you are sculpting with your hands in whatever
and
medium.
I would never say, like, I don't think I would do this or I would do that, because I don't think I know until the moment comes what I would or wouldn't do. I know this is a very silly, ridiculous thing, but I used to carry a very large bag when I was going to college. And I went to a city college, so I was coming back from school, and my dad had asked me why I was carrying such a big bag, and I said to him, because if anybody tried to attack me, I'd just hit him with the bag, because it's a big bag, you know. So I'm walking on the street, and I feel somebody touch my back, and the first thing I did was drop the bag. And of course, who was it? It was my father. And he said, lot of good that did you.
Whoops.
And that's, you don't know what you're going to do till you're in a minute. And like I was teaching school and I was standing waiting for a bus and a little boy ran out into the street and the bus was coming. And I didn't think. I just ran and got him and pulled him away from the bus. And I didn't think it through, you know, that I could have gotten hurt or anything else. It was so in the moment, that's what I did. And I'm constantly aware that I don't know how I would act if I was unable to be creative.
See, I would suggest that that moment, you didn't have time to think and you didn't have time to do in this, if thinking is a form of doing, your being just responded.
Yes.
See, to me, that was what you were.
But it was my being that responded. In other words, somebody else might have done something totally different in the same situation. Their being would have responded differently. And so that being part of us that does has a distinctive quality.
It makes me wonder, when you talk about existential being, like being that is like everything, the ground of being, and what is being doing?
What is being doing?
Yeah, what is being
doing? At this moment, being is talking.
Well, being is doing a lot of things, it seems to me. Matter of fact, one characteristic of being is that it is constantly giving birth to an infinite array of other beings. Right.
Right.
Because being loves being, and so naturally would want to share the beingness. And so, ergo, you have other beings. But before we go any further...
But in order to get other beings, a being has to do something to make other beings and be.
I don't think so.
Yes.
Wait a minute. I think the being already
is. Thinking is doing. Thinking is doing.
But before we get to that, the beingness is... And to the extent that we are being, we are that is. But we come into this finite experience to discover what that is.
And that's doing.
And there's the doing.
Yes.
Which is, and there's the rub. It's both the doing.
He insists upon rubbing his doing.
But let me ask you all a question.
Doing his rubbing.
Okay.
I forget.
We are, by the way, sponsored to... by Go Raw. I want to remind you that Go Raw is just incredible munchy food, and it's so healthy, and it's just so satisfying, and they've been such wonderful sponsors for our program, and they've helped us in many ways, so I encourage you to check out Go Raw. But tonight we have another sponsor, and so if you'll permit me, we're going to take just a couple minutes and hear this commercial. Is your life drab? Has your will lost its bounce, the sparkle, the luster? Do the highlights just disappear into the dark? Has your will become hard and brittle with divided beginnings and split endings, making it unresponsive to love, incapable of making healthy choices? Or maybe your will was abused by early conditioning, leaving it limp, stringy, and depressed. Then you'll want to try our new Lifeline conditioner, Awaken. Awaken, unlike the old paradigm conditioners, doesn't harness, flatten, or deplete your natural will. It leaves it silky, soft, and responsive to the gentlest touch, the most sublime guidance. The old conditioners acted to subvert your will, making it listless, abrasive, or stiff. And what is life with a stiff will? No joy, no resilience. No, you want your will firm enough to penetrate, but supple enough to receive. What you want is the flexibility and allure of a properly conditioned will. And that's why we have Awakened. Awakened uses only natural products, and you can be sure it has that all-important quality of being yielding. As you know, a yielding will is a happy will, a will that invites warm, loving thoughts to run their fingers through it. Awaken is applied by a gentle stroking of the will, a luxurious message that goes to the very core of your volition. If you use awaken moment to moment, in no time at all, your will return to that wholesome, gorgeous, alive state it was designed for. So if you want to turn heads and enlighten consciousness when you walk into a room, then try awaken, okay? The only conditioner that leaves your will unencumbered and free. Possible side effects include out-of-body experiences, loss of appetite for sensation, power, prestige, reduction of interest in material acquisitions, and self-forgetfulness. Please consult your inner beautician.
Awaken, huh?
Yeah.
This segment of our show was sponsored by Awaken.
Yeah.
And Errol will tell you how to get it.
Well, I think I just...
He did. He just told you how to get it.
I just told you how to get it. You just...
Right. Well, you have to want... I don't mind those side effects.
You don't mind those side effects about that.
It seems
exactly.
Like pretty good. You know, like, I mean, I read something about side effects the other day that was terrifying.
What was that? Oh, tell me about that.
It was a product that said that it could produce heart attacks, corroding of your liver, a high blood pressure or low blood pressure, they didn't even care. Like, in other words, it could kill you.
Right.
And it was like, for what?
Right. And what Rochelle said to me, she said, is a boner worth that?
That's right. This product, I'm not going to say.
Why not?
Because we're a radio program and I'm not going to put down a product.
I'm not putting down the product.
If I mention its name, you will be.
Well, I'm not putting it down. It's Cialis. Rochelle, she's going, it's okay. I think they can take care of themselves. But we might be saving some one person out there who's using just too much of that stuff and is going to have a stubbed toe or something. Never mind. Okay, back to the subject at hand, which is doing. So let me ask you, listeners out there, and by the way, if you'd like to join this conversation, you can. And let me see. I have to find the phone number. But I know it is.
One thing I know about Errol is a wonderful being. He's a beautiful being. And some of his doings are scary because some of his doings are under the influence of unconsciousness. Like, he's the man who will put something down and 6 seconds later he'll go, I just had it. Where did it go?
I could lose it faster than
you
that.
You can. In fact, he's gotten to the point where he's saying to me, I really don't lose things. I hide them from myself.
This is how
he wants to kid himself into believing that it's really perfectly okay not to be able to find keys, your phone, your, what is it that daily you lose?
Glasses, keys, phone. And
so far you haven't.
Watch. I probably lose that watch several times a month.
Yeah.
I lost it the other day. But I remembered where it was. That was incredible. But here's the number, 888-627-6008. And we have a caller? Hello, Jamie.
Hey, Errol and Rochelle.
Yes.
I love you guys. Yes, I'm Natasha and Jamie the clowns, but
oh my God,
I'm just listening in, and I want to order a couple of gallons of awake, please.
Hey, Jamie.
How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great, man.
This is a great show. I just wanted to say I love hearing the laughter, and I wanted to throw in, you know, the Tao Te Ching that says, do not doing. And first do doing, then do not doing. And it also says, if you just do not doing, then everything else will fall into place. So there you go.
I love that. That's just so in keeping. And I think of you too often and imagine you out there making other people laugh. So clearly you are one of the laugh producers as part of your doing.
that's what we're trying to do.
Yes.
That's right.
Well, that's great because one of the things that we see this show doing is attacking all the ways that we take ourselves so seriously. because it really causes unnecessary puffed upness of the ego.
Unnecessary puff
up. You know those little frogs that, you know, puff up, they get puff, and then they and then they kind of unpuff.
Was that that song, Puff the Magic Frog?
No.
I think perhaps you can create a salve for that, for the puffed up ego.
We can create a salve on there. I had this insight, Jamie, that the fundamental impulse of all of our being is to become more, to expand. The ego's way of trying to achieve that is by expanding out to the exclusion of others. And of course, it has to maintain that resistance. Whereas being's way of doing that is to progressively include more and more of that which heretofore may have appeared as being separate.
Oh, that was nice.
So there you have
here.
Well, we hope to see you soon. Anything else you want to share?
Come down to Lupin and take your clothes off.
Oh, I just might take
She doesn't say that to just anybody, by the way.
No. Well, clowns naked are kind of like Barbie dolls. There's nothing there. They're very kid-friendly.
Yeah. I have a clown outfit that I wear, actually, when I clown around.
You can always wear a false nose.
Yeah, I wear a fanny pack. I have a clown fanny pack. If you don't know what I'm referring to, go to USA Today. There was an article about me and my fanny pack when I was hailed down by the rangers in the woods nearby. It was quite a big deal.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, all the best. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye, dear.
Bye.
Jamie and Natasha are just wonderfully creative people. We've worked with them. As a matter of fact, they saw us perform and we became good friends, and they wanted to do some of our material. So they came over and we rehearsed them doing a couple of pieces from our repertoire. And I'm glad they learned it, because I'm not so sure how long I'll be able to do those very physical pieces, one of which required me doing the splits and going all the way
down.
But
it wasn't so terrible, because when you did the splits, there were more of you.
That's right.
He was splitting, too.
Yeah, I had multiple personalities, each of them taking some aspect of the divided self and running with it.
Or maybe not running with it, maybe limping.
Well, there is that. Reminds me of the wonderful minister that you worked with, John, who used to say, people talk about, what was it he said?
I said, all I want to do is walk my talk. And he says, all I want to do is mumble my stumble. I mean, stumble my mumble.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm sorry, John.
Sorry, John. But she means well. So back to the issue of doing
doobie-doobie-doobie.
And I liked what Jamie just brought up. I think he was quoting the I Ching, but to do not doing, that's a very succulent, you know, what is the sound of one finger clapping? The old Zen question.
I think it was a hand, Daryl, but that's okay.
Well, it's a different sound.
But it's similar to what I was saying before about, like, our being will naturally do, but do we do what we do because we want to be seen, you know, like it's
to have our being affirmed.
Have our being affirmed, or is our being affirmed enough so that we can simply do what needs to be done in terms of who we are? I mean, because we're always doing. I mean, it's impossible not to do. I mean, breathing is doing. Sitting and meditating is doing. I mean, it's an action. It's a constant, even if it's a quiet action or a still action, it's still an action. And we were made to do that. So there's another word for being that I might want to use, like an essential self. Who is this being? Who is this essential self? Who is this non-self-absorbed self?
I have no idea what that could possibly be. What on earth is a non-self-absorbed self. That's like a stranger from another planet coming in for a landing, knocking at my door saying, I have a opportunity for you, senor, that you would be amazed, that you could experience yourself without being self-absorbed.
I think when we're self-absorbed, when all that we always are looking for, I won't say gratification, but affirmation that we exist. I think that's the best word. We want to be affirmed. We want to know that we're there. And so we do to get that affirmation so that we know that we are. And once we do know that we are, anything we do comes from that place. It's like there's a purity to it in many ways, you know. I'm reading these wonderful books about the number one ladies' detective agency that takes place in Botswana, Africa, and there's lovely wisdom in it, and it's constantly aware that there's a sense of purpose to this beautiful woman, but it's so self-effacing. I mean, she's not in it to get affirmation. It's just that she couldn't do anything else. And she found a medium in which to give and be there for people and help them solve their problems because she's good at it.
She's good at it. And I suspect she's a not self-absorbed person.
No, she's not.
Yeah.
I mean, she just is. And she's very big. She's a big woman. And she talks of herself as she's just like that. I mean, there isn't any apology or, oh, I have to lose weight or, you know, I think there's a piece of cake, she'd love to eat it. She has no problem with her body, her sense of self, and it's just so refreshing to read something like that.
Well, living here at Lupin Lodge, we get the opportunity to get naked. And for me, and for many people who come here, besides just the freedom of not having to wear clothes, like today was a warm day, it's so freeing. There's the, you remove the attire that we may have put on in order to identify ourselves in the way that we hope will be most attractive in the world. But when you get naked, I think you get closer to being, as you said earlier. Nudity isn't just skin deep.
Mm-hmm.
It goes deeper. And as we are able to denude ourselves, so to speak, of anything that is false in us, that is a contrived, that is a way we have chosen to deceive ourselves into thinking that we are these delimited or unworthy or dislikable people, ourselves or others, and that's the challenge, is to stay awake, stay alert, and that's why you need to get some awaken, okay? We need to get some awaken. But let's just take a little minute to reflect on that and listen to this song that I hope will bring you into a deeper sense of what we're talking about. This is called Free to Be Me by Francesca Battistelli. Boy, we have the Italians tonight, Savaretti and Battistelli.
At 20 years of age, I'm still looking for a dream. A war's already waged for my destiny. But you've already won the battle, and you've got great plans for me. Though I can't always see, 'cause I got a couple dents in my fender, rips in my jeans. Try to fit the pieces together. The perfection is my enemy. And on my own I'm so clumsy, but on your shoulders I can see I'm free to be.
was just a girl. I thought I had it figured out. See, my life would turn out right, and I'd make it here somehow. But things don't always come that easy, and sometimes I would doubt. Oh, 'cause I got a couple dents in my fender, got a couple rips in my jeans. Try to fit the pieces together, but perfection is my enemy. And on my own, I'm so clumsy, but on your shoulders. Sometimes I believe that I can do anything, yet other times I think I've got nothing good to bring. But you look at my heart and you tell me that I've got all you see, girl. And it's easy to believe, even though I got a couple dents in my fender, in my jeans, try to fit the pieces together, but perfection is my enemy. And on my own, I'm so clumsy, but on your shoulders, I can see. I got a couple dents in my fender, got a couple rips in my jeans, try to fit the pieces together, but perfection is my enemy.
I think that's really hits the issue. Does the doing allow you the freedom to be who you are, or does the doing constrain you and keep you from being who you fundamentally are? And I think in that sense, it's good to become self-reflective, to kind of look at that. And because one way that I recognize it in myself is that when I'm not doing, I don't feel good about me. And that's what alerted me to the issue that my identity and my worth are tied up in what I do. And if I'm not doing it, my worth takes a dive.
Yeah. I do feel differently about that. I don't.
Oh, thank God. One of us doesn't feel that way.
I don't think that I equate my worth with what I do as much as with who I am.
You think that's a man thing? More
it could
male?
Be. It yeah. could be. And which may die out in the next generation or two, because already I think that women have become more like that.
So you think it's going
I
that way?
I think more women are becoming, their identity has to do with what they do than who they are.
So you think that's progress, or you think that's healthy
sometimes,
emulation of certain
sometimes,
male
sometimes you things. You kind of have to fall into a big mess before you can come out of it. You know, it's like we go up a hill, and then you have to kind of go down to go up again in terms of progress. So I don't know if it inhibits our progress or furthers it, but I think that sometimes you have to take two steps back to take a step forward.
So that would lead you two steps back, one forward, two steps back. So that would lead you, after you made 25 steps forward, you'd be so far back.
You'd be in such doo-doo you won't know that you're a being at all. I think I said that wrong. But you know why? Because I was looking out this window, and if you look out the window and see the moon, it's
ooh,
pretty big, and it's this
said,
big orb.
It is amazing. You said doo-doo, and I think that's something you got to watch out with the doing is the doo-doo. As a matter of fact, one of the thoughts I have about it is be careful when you step in into the duality, because you just may get it all over yourself.
And not only that, not only may you, but you probably will.
Yeah. And you don't hear people say, oh my God, did you step in the BB? No, you don't. You know, that's, but the doo-doo, oh yeah, you stepped in the doo-doo and it stinks. The BB doesn't stink and it's good, BB.
But I don't want to get into that place where, you know, like so many people, well, don't think. You know, thinking is like a disease or it will contaminate you. The truth is thinking is an incredible thing that we do. But once again, it's like, I think it comes down to how we define ourselves. The more we need to define ourselves externally, that then we have to do to define ourselves.
Not just define, but to justify ourselves. That's the big part of that, to justify my existence. I have a friend, we used to talk about, what have you done today to justify your existence? We used to kid each other because we were both doing addicts.
Uh-huh. Oh, I never thought about that, justifying my existence. I don't even think about justifying my existence.
Well, let me recommend that you all take some steps to justify your existence this week, and then you'll see how it feels. And get back to us. We are Inside Out, The Naked Truth, and we're broadcast live from Lupin Lodge, where, as we like to say,
Clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
And we're sponsored by Go Raw. Naked Truth, Go Raw. I think you get the connection.
Yes, I'm happy to say that is a lovely connection.
And next week, we're going to probe into one of the things that causes us to take ourselves so bloody seriously. And we're going to see if we can sprinkle some nonsense and some mirth and mayhem all over that serious stuff and dislodge it from our psyche and help improve our world. So we're saying good night to y'all. Anything else? What do you want to say? Remember, what do you want to remind these folks?
Remember,
resistance is what you add to pain.
To make it last longer and hurt more.